Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 47 of Hardwick Sound. My name is Caleb Hardwick, and joining me, as always, is my family here in the dump. Let's start with Noah this time. Hey, Noah.
Hello.
Noah, tell me this. What is your favorite thing about the number 47?
The number 47. I get it confused with the number 74.
Oh. See, that's his dyslexia right there. I really can't think of anything else about the number 47 that has any real meaning to me. Can you?
Is it divisible by a number?
I don't know. Let's ask let's ask my lovely mother. This is Ms. Carla Hardwick.
I don't know. It may be a prime number.
Is it? Noah is going to Google it. Is 47 a prime number?
I was actually going to open the calculator, but that does sound easier.
I would just Google it, but whatever you want. Let's get Seth's thoughts on this. This is my younger brother, Seth Hardwick. How you doing, Seth?
I'm doing good.
What do you think, Seth? Is there anything special about 47? I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
I don't know. I'll tell you in just a moment.
Okay.
We're going to find out what Wikipedia has to say.
47 is, in fact, a prime number.
It is. It is. Okay.
Homeschool mom here.
So there you go. This is one of our prime episodes. How many have we had now?
How many prime episodes?
Prime numbers are episodes.
How many number episodes have been prime? Like, how many number prime numbers are there between 1 and 47?
I don't know that.
Okay. Well,
and I don't have a table, so I can't.
I'm sure write. Somebody
15.
Will... Okay, this is our 15th prime episode. I'm sure there's some mathematical special. Yeah, there's something special about 47.
So wait, what if we get to a number of prime episodes that's also a prime number? Does that make it double prime?
Huh?
Wait, what?
Well, if it's our, like, third prime episode, 3 is a prime number.
Oh.
So therefore, it's okay. A double prime.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure if some mathematic person has figured out the importance of that, but I have no idea what it would
our
be.
Our next prime time squared? That will happen will be our 17th. Our 17th prime episode, which will be our 59th actual overall episode.
Ah, so when we get to 59, that'll be our next prime episode.
No, double prime episode.
Double prime.
The next prime episode will be 53.
Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha.
And
because 16 isn't a prime.
Also, double prime would actually make it our second prime number, double prime episode,
wow.
Which will actually make it a triple prime
wow.
episode.
Wow. Wow, this is quite a conversation.
Do you guys know how nerdy you sound?
Welcome to the Hardwick's Mathematics Hour. No, this is good though. So let's see, we've had all sorts of excitement over the last about, I don't know, last 10, 15 days, something like that. And so that's what we're going to do here on this episode, not just prime numbers. We're also going to let you in on some of the excitement that's been happening around the Hardwick family. So where do we want to start? How far back do we want to go?
Well, we've missed a week of podcasting.
Yeah, we did.
So we got to go way back.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the Thursday that we went up to the Clinton Center.
Okay, that's a good place to start.
That's a good place to start because that's where we missed our first actual recording time.
Yep, was we that? Sure did.
You invited me to go, so why don't you tell just a little bit about why we went up there.
Okay, so here's the deal. I have a friend and colleague named Evan Demerill, and he's an author, and he recently released a book called African American Athletes in Arkansas, and this is a project that he's been working on for quite a while, and I actually had the privilege, the honor to help him with a few of the different things in it. I did some genealogy work for him. And I actually got to co-author a chapter with him, which is cool because I get to open up the book and see my name on
so
the title.
Are you now a published author?
Yes,
maybe.
Not exactly.
Not probably not.
I mean, at first I was ghostwriting for him, but then I guess after I wrote it up, he felt it was better to just credit me with co-authoring it, so...
I think the thing that's most interesting about that is that this is the first time you've actually met him.
Yeah, it is.
You were doing all that work for him, but you never met him before.
on that Thursday, Evan was doing a presentation at the Clinton School of Public Services.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
I think that's what it's called. Clinton School of Public Services.
Which is cool because it's in the old Choctaw Railroad Station in Little Rock. And that was kind of the thing, is just kind of cool to get to go in there and see
it. Neat looking building.
And so we went up there, we got to meet him and see the presentation, and I got a copy of the book from Evan, and he signed it, personalized it for me. So that was fun, exciting.
It was fun. I'm glad you invited me to go. So then we move on to probably the next one would be Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday then. Let's go to Saturday. So let's see, Seth, what did you do on Saturday?
Now, is this the Saturday after the book thingy?
Yes.
I don't know. What did I do that day?
I think
we went to the river.
Oh, was that the rendezvous day?
That was rendezvous.
Oh, see, that's too long ago.
Okay, this was the Arkansas Canoe Club annual event that they call Rendezvous.
Yep.
Where canoers come, oddly enough, not from just Arkansas. The Arkansas Canoe Club includes people from other states. And so they came in from Texas and Oklahoma, met down at Lake Catherine, and had several events down there. Really, the only event that we took place in was the float down the river from Rimmel Dam to Rockport, to the ledge at Rockport. And I thought that was fun. We don't get to do that very often. We usually just do little short playtime in the river, not a whole float.
Yeah.
I think that was Seth's first float. So what did you think about that, Seth?
It was long.
It is pretty long. I mean, it's not that long, like, compared to if you were going to, like, float the Caddo or the Buffalo or something. It's a pretty short float, but...
But it was boring long for a good while.
There are parts of it that are pretty boring.
The first part of the river, it has a pretty good drop on it, so the water keeps moving, and it's kind of pretty and fun. But then you get into this stretch that's like a mile long that you just do nothing but paddle.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't like that part either. That was long.
Meanwhile, Noah was over at Lake Catherine.
Tell us what you got to do, Noah.
I hiked the damn mountain trail.
Stop that cursing, Noah.
So you see, I'm trying to remember. You told us how far you walked, but I don't remember how far you said
it was. About 6 miles?
No, it wasn't that far. It was like 3.85 or something like that.
Yeah.
The sign says it's 4 miles, but according to my phone, it was a little bit short of 4 miles.
Yeah. I've never been on
that
trail.
My phone is probably questionable in its accuracy, but I actually probably believe that it probably is a little bit shorter than 4 miles.
I've been on the other Lake Catherine trails, but I've never been on the damn mountain trail. So.
Which is actually kind of funny because I wasn't thinking about it at the time, but it's actually right across the river from where we dropped you off at the dam.
Yeah. So you could just somehow get from one side of the dam to the other.
Right.
You would literally be right there. So you went in a really big circle.
Yep.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, so that was the morning hours. We got to go to the river and we got some good exercise in those morning hours. But that wasn't all. Let's see. After that, me and Mama drove into Hot Springs.
For a special little kind of mystery.
A mystery adventure.
A mystery stalking.
Yes. We went. Me and Mama went stalking. It was pretty successful, too.
We did good.
Well, that's questionable.
Actually, it wasn't totally successful. So if you may remember from an episode a while back when we did with our friend Callie Morgan, we mentioned a Tim Hawkins show that was going to happen in Hot Springs. Well, that was the day of the show, and we were not going to be able to go to the show, but I still wanted to see if I could track down some of the people from the Potty Break podcast, which is the podcast that Tim Hawkins does with his crew. And so, me and Mama went to the church and went stalking these people to see if we could find them.
They broke into the church.
Not exactly. They had the bus.
Break in.
They had the bus conveniently hidden around on the backside of the church so that you couldn't see it.
Yeah,
so,
not Craig's bus. You'd have to know the Potty Break podcast to know that.
Okay. Anyway, we went around and saw the bus there, and we just went to the nearest entrance, and it was unlocked, and we went in.
And so we went in, and they had set up the fellowship hall with food in preparation, I guess, for dinner. And one of the people who was sitting in there talking was none other than Freight Mabry himself.
Yes. That was exciting.
The world-famous Freight Mabry. And so... Freight is one of the members of that podcast. He's regularly on the show, and so we got to go in and meet him, and he was pretty excited to meet us. I think
so too.
He's a friendly guy.
What was really funny, though, is the fact that you and Freight were dressed alike.
Yes! Okay, so there's a hashtag on Twitter called I Am Freight. It's hashtag I Am Freight. And it's kind of this thing where if you say I Am Freight, it's like I am the underappreciated member of my social group.
Yes.
And so it's like hashtag I Am Freight. I made a funny joke, but nobody heard kind of thing. And so what's funny then is if we went and we met him and we were literally wearing like the same thing. We both had a black hat, a gray shirt, black shorts, socks, and black shoes. So
we should probably put that on.
Maybe we should
on the Facebook page.
Yeah. And so it was like the hashtag I Am Freight all over again. So there you go. That was fun. And I also mentioned that I built a cigar box guitar.
Yes.
Which I brought as a gift to Caleb Mabry, who is Freight's son and was on this podcast a while back.
I hope you're listening, Caleb.
And so
I hope you're enjoying your guitar.
Later on, I got a message from him and he was very grateful that apparently that he had got it and was playing with it and trying to figure out how to tune it. And I just told him, well, you know, there's no real way to tune it. You just kind of crank those things until they sound right. So I hope he's figured it out by now.
I think you could have made one out of like a toilet seat.
A potty break. Yeah. there actually is a kind of a group of people who make them out of like bedpans.
Oh, wow.
But I'm not allowed to say what they're called on this podcast. They have a certain name that would go against our podcast regulations.
Like a trail at Lake Catherine that we're not allowed to talk about.
Yes, that bleeping mountain trail.
That darned mountain trail.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so anyway, you can look that up on the internet, I'm sure, but don't. Unless you want that in your internet history.
Now, getting back to what we were doing Saturday, though, even after all of that, we still weren't finished with the day.
No,
we still had
not even close.
Not even close, no. So, Noah, you want to tell about what we did after that?
After that, we came home, and I think that we all took a nap.
I think we did.
Yeah, were all pretty tired.
Yeah,
I did not, but I'll get to that later.
Yeah.
But after that, we went to North Little Rock and we went to what was the name of it?
What is the name of that place? North River Park?
Yeah.
North River Walk?
Yeah. Something.
I was actually trying to think of the name of the event. But
the name of the event was
Arkansas
Legends of Arkansas.
Legends of Arkansas.
Legends of Arkansas. Yeah.
Which was like an event with all artists and crafts and vendors and stuff from Arkansas.
Yep.
And we went to go see Knox Hamilton, who was playing the last show of the evening.
Yeah.
And
he was the headliner.
Seth also went to go and play with Legos because Arklug was there.
It's true. We had play break.
But the whole event was to sponsor the work of the van.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is a clothing distributor in the Little Rock area. So
a local nonprofit that works with the homeless people and so forth.
Sure. And so, yeah, we got to see Knox Hamilton. What'd y'all think?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was fun. I liked having a kind of outdoor show, although it was a little hotter than I think I would have liked.
Hot.
But
it was a little hot. But, you know, it got dark, and that helped a lot.
Yeah.
And there was a woman swinging around fire.
Yeah, that was cool, too.
Oh, yeah. I tried and tried and tried to get a picture of that, and my camera just wouldn't focus on that fire, probably because she was swinging it around in circles.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
And,
just
and
kind
there
of
were
blur.
Light-up hula hoop artist people.
Yeah.
It's just one of those professions. I'm like, how in the world did you start as a fire?
That's a good question. When did you first pick up fire and decide to start flinging it around in circles? I don't know.
I don't know either.
That's a good question.
And there were lots of random just people in the crowd doing acrobatic stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, we were right underneath that bridge. Is that the Main Street bridge?
Yes.
And I kept wondering what the people thought as they were driving over the bridge, because the lady that was slinging the fire around was up high, almost up at the level of the bridge.
I probably do it all the time.
I mean... You're driving down the road and you just see this person throwing fire up in the air and catching it and swinging it around.
I don't think she ever actually threw it.
No, it was always on a chain.
Yeah, it was more of
Well, in the dark, it's hard to tell exactly how she was doing it. It was interesting. Yeah. I don't think I would want to do that. No.
I don't know. I might.
Not my house.
I already started developing my own. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, it was a lot of fun to get to go up to the river and just hang out there and listen to some music. So that was a good day. I think we all got home and we all crashed.
Which was slightly fortunate or perhaps unfortunate. I'm not sure which, but the next day is Sunday. But we got to sleep in comparison to normal Sundays.
Instead of going to church at 9 o'clock, we didn't go to church until 10 o'clock.
Dun, 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 dun. Your dun, dun, dun was off for my dun, dun, dun.
Well, you confused me with your dun, 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 so.
Well, you were just wrong.
Sorry.
Da, da, da.
No, wasn't it either. Anyway, so yeah, on Sunday we had what we like to call Midtown Palooza. Which is our, I guess it's an annual event.
I guess. I don't know where that name came from.
I don't
or what
either.
It means.
Yeah. We should ask Carol. Anyway, we had Midtown Palooza. We got to see Church in the Park, which is fun because it's like one of the one times of the year that we get to actually come together all as one church. You know,
and fellowship with food, yep.
And sweat and melt and be hot.
It was hot.
It was really hot.
It's the one time of the year where we all get to sweat together as a church family.
You know what they say? Churches that sweat together
stick together.
Well, that's true.
The only other time we do that is during the Salt Bowl.
Yeah. Well,
maybe next year we should Palooza in October instead of September.
Note to Midtown staff, please schedule Palooza in October next year.
But or somewhere that has shade.
But it was fun. There was 9 people baptized.
I thought there was more than that.
I think there was 9.
Sure seems like there was more than that, but they said 9.
I think it was 9. And then in the afternoon, we got to play some kickball.
Yeah, if
kind
you can
of,
call
kind
it
of.
That.
It was kind of like really hot, slow kickball. But anyway, we did get to play kickball, and that was fun. Was that everything we did on Sunday?
I think we came home and took a nap.
I didn't, but we'll get to that in a moment.
What did you do?
We'll get to that in a moment.
Okay, I think I know where you're getting. Well, I know what you're getting at here. All right, so let's see. The next big event, I guess, that happened during the week. I'm trying to think. What else? Oh, on Wednesday, Noah got his speakers.
Yeah, I got some new speakers.
Yep. Any words on those?
They're pretty big. I mean, they're big for a bookshelf speaker. Like,
that's true.
They're almost a little too big to be a bookshelf speaker, but too small to be a floor standing speaker. So
yeah. What are you gonna do with them then?
I don't know yet. I've got to figure out where I'm gonna put them.
Yeah. We'll have to find some sort of medium between.
They got the Carla Dawn of approval.
I liked them. I don't know. I'm not sure you felt like they were quite right, but
yeah, I'm still not quite happy with them, but I'll give them some more
time. I feel like they're really good. They just need to be turned up loud. If they're not turned up loud, then they don't quite sound right.
That could be the problem. Yeah. Maybe just need to break them in more. We'll
break them in a little. Yep. So let's see. Also on Wednesday, I found out that I was going to Texas.
I thought you found out on Tuesday.
Well, it was kind of on Tuesday. We kind of finalized things on Wednesday. So anyway, our friends Will and Courtney Topf, we should have them on the podcast sometime.
We really should.
Yeah.
We should.
We should have Natalie on.
Yes. Yes. To tell us stories
yes.
about her turtle.
We should play Boggle with Natalie on the podcast.
Yes, that would be fun.
All right, next Hardwick board game night.
Yeah,
we'll just pack it all up and take it over there.
I don't know how well that would work, but if we could play Boggle with Natalie, that'd be fantastic.
Natalie is there. How old is she?
She what, 8?
I don't know exactly.
7, 8-year-old daughter?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yes. And in any case, we found out that Will was going down to Texas to help out with the Hurricane Harvey relief efforts. And I, on a spur decision, decided, hey, maybe I should go down with him. It's something that I had
basically just invited himself.
I basically invited myself. Actually, I asked, I said, you know, hey, is there any, you know, maybe is there a way I could come? And the next thing I'd find out, he's like just planning for me to come. So. I was
you really talked
about
yourself into that one.
Yep, sure did. And so we left late Wednesday and we stayed in Marshall, Texas during the night. We woke
hey,
up.
What about where that's at?
Yeah, you do. Why?
Because we have a warehouse there.
Oh, you know, I remember seeing a Fidelity sign, I think. Yeah.
Just think, you could have slept in the Fidelity warehouse, probably.
Wow.
Yeah. I hear it leaks.
Actually, our hotel didn't have air conditioning
either.
I'll say
our hotel was much nicer.
Probably so.
Anyway, so the next morning we got up, we drove down to a place called Winnie, Texas, which is kind of a pretty small little agricultural city between Houston and Beaumont.
Yes, I want to clarify, it is Winnie, like Winnie the Pooh.
Yes, yeah. Or Winnie on...
The Wonder Years.
The Wonder Years, yes. Yeah. Those are the only two Winnies I can think of.
There's another one, but I haven't done
yeah, those are the only two I can think of.
Well, so, I'm always Winnie.
What?
Ing.
No.
I think even Corey Winnie. Would disapprove of that part.
Yeah, that wasn't... good try, but sorry. So anyway, we spent a couple days down there working on ripping out flooring of houses that had been flooded. And doing sheetrock, putting up new sheetrock where the water had got up and got the old sheetrock wet. So,
hey, Caleb, just tell, I don't know if your brothers have heard the story or not, just briefly about the house that you worked on that the two women, the older widowed ladies yeah. lived in.
Yeah, so it's kind of an interesting story. There was a house in the area of what is actually what they call Hampshire Fennet, which is very near Winnie. But in any case, the water there had gotten really high. And in fact, you could see where the water line was on the house. And it was probably 4 or 5 feet above ground level. So imagine the water line above ground level was about 4 or 5 feet. The house itself was about, you know, about 3.5, 4 feet above ground level. So you can do the math there. The water got up about a foot and a half up into the house. And so there were two widowed ladies who lived in that house, and they were watching to see if how bad the flooding was going to get. And they said that the water had never got up more than really a few inches up into the garage, which is several feet below the house. And so they weren't that worried about it. And they'd been living there since, I think, 1962 or something like that. So for, you know, 50 years, they'd never seen the water get within like 3 feet of the house. And then when Harvey came through, it was up to their knees inside the house, which means that it was, you know, it was three and a half feet higher than they had ever seen it. And so at that point, one of them was on oxygen and needed the electricity. And amazingly, the electricity never went off throughout the storm. But they eventually got to the point where, you know, they're sitting in water. They had to get out. So they started trying to find rescue. And eventually a boat came by and they were able to flag them down. And the boat was able to pull up into the garage. It pulls into the garage. And
it docked in the garage.
Yes. And they were able to get from the house into the boat. And what was interesting is you could actually see where there were fingerprints on the cutout like frame of the garage door. You could see where they were steadying the boat way up high on the side of the house above the cutout of the garage.
Wow.
Which shows you like how high it was. So it's just mind-blowing to think how much water there was, because that's miles and miles and miles, and it's water 4 or 5 feet above ground level. I just can't imagine where all that water came from. You know, it's amazing.
What I can't understand is how they didn't get electrocuted if the power never went off and it got that high in the house. Yeah. You know, it was in the wiring of the house.
Yeah.
So it seemed like it would have conducted through the water.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I have no idea.
I don't either.
It was amazing to listen to these two ladies tell their story. And, you know, it's going to be a long road to try to recover from this. And obviously we didn't get a ton done in 2 days, but hopefully, you know, there's a whole lot of more people out there that are going to be willing to go down and help and try to do what they can too. So there was a ton of debris just piled up everywhere on the highway. Like at this point, several weeks after the hurricane, it was mostly they had already removed all the debris and piled it up. So when you're just driving down the highway, it's just pile after pile after pile of stuff where people have went in their houses and pretty much taken everything that had got touched by water and piling it up on the side of the road to let the county come and pick it up. So that was something to see. We went by a church. We drove by a church, and there was this huge stack of wooden pews that were out sitting by the side of the road.
Wow. That's kind of sad, isn't it?
So obviously there's a lot of work yet to be done. And so best wishes to all the people who are going to go down and do their part. So we stayed until Saturday, and we drove home Saturday afternoon. And that pretty much brings me up to what we've been doing this week. But while I was gone, there was some excitement.
Yes, I never slept.
You didn't sleep?
Well, at least I never got to take any of those naps that y'all did.
Oh, yeah?
Well, tell us what you were doing.
Basically, for the last 2 weeks, I have been nonstop working in the Lego room.
This is true. I can vouch, except for the time I wasn't here.
And in that time, I have been working on and building and updating and renovating and tearing apart and rebuilding my layout for SpaCon, which was this past weekend.
SpaCon. In Hot Springs.
In Hot Springs at the convention center.
So tell us about how did SpaCon go? Did you able to get it all done?
Yes. And we somehow managed to get everything set up, generally speaking, in time. For public hours to open up on Saturday.
Yeah. Y'all had a really big display.
We did. We had, this was our largest display we've ever done. Part of that is thanks to three guys that came up from the Dallas-Fort Worth lug. And
what's a lug?
Lego Users Group.
There you go.
So we are Arkansas Lego Users Group, and they are Dallas-Fort Worth Lego Users Group.
Yep.
Which I think is a part, like a sub group of the Texas Lego Users Group.
Right. So what was the most interesting part of SpaCon?
Probably the Back to the Future Western scene.
Oh.
Was pretty awesome.
With the DeLorean?
And there was a DeLorean.
Was that Lego or something else?
No, it was Lego. Michael Baker from the Texas group that came up, he builds Back to the Future Western. And that's what he's been working on for a long time now.
That's an interesting niche to build Lego Back to the Future. But whatever works for you.
That was pretty cool.
What was the most interesting costume you saw? Because people always dress up for these Comic-Cons.
You know, I'm not entirely sure. I actually, at the end, I went over and watched the ceremony or the contest where everyone dresses up and goes across the stage and they
cosplay.
Pick it. Yeah, the cosplay. Yeah. And I don't know. I guess I'll probably go with the winner. And it was a guy who dressed up as Captain America. But what made it so cool is the fact that he actually toured in Afghanistan or Iraq or something and got injured and got his Kevlar vest that he was wearing at the time that I guess he was injured in. They sent it to him or something. But he had painted it and made it look like Captain America's stuff. But it is real Kevlar.
Wow. That
in
is
his costume. The real stuff that he was in, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, that was pretty cool.
But yeah, that was pretty cool to see that. Spock was pretty cool. Spock Vegas.
Spock Vegas?
Yeah, he's a Spock or Leonard Nimoy impersonator.
And he was at SpaCon?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah. He was there. Talked a lot like him.
Cool.
What's the next event we're working toward now?
Last weekend of October, we will be at Brick Universe at the Statehouse Convention Center in Little Rock.
Cool.
And then the week after that, we will be at Comic Conway in Conway.
Cool. We'll all be looking forward to those events. In the meantime, let's see. There was at least one really exciting thing that happened on Friday.
We enjoy on Fridays listening to a show called Learning University. It's on AFR Radio, and it's a trivia show. In fact, we kind of modeled our Trivia Thursday program that we had here on our podcast after their Trivia Friday.
Plagiarized, you mean?
Yeah.
That's the correct
No, we
word.
Modeled it. Modeled. Okay. I like that word better. And
borrowed.
While we've listened to it for a number of years now, we've never tried to call in and answer any of the trivia questions.
We did that 1 week with
I don't
no
remember.
Success.
I don't remember ever trying to do it before, but this week, Seth and I were home. Nobody else was around. I said, hey, let's call in. So we started calling in, managed to get through.
Well, to prefix the reason why we were calling in, there haven't been any Trivia Friday t-shirts around for like 2 years.
Right.
And they had just announced that they had got them in that week. So we had decided, hey, let's try and get a t-shirt.
Yeah, we wanted to win a t-shirt. So we called in, managed to get through, much to my surprise. I didn't think that we'd be able to get on the show.
After holding for like 30 minutes.
Yeah. But we got on the show. We were the next to the last caller and ended up getting what they call the cowbell question, which is the one that wins the prize.
And so, what question was that?
I didn't write down the exact
question. What was the first
question?
Name brand diet soda?
Cool.
Now, what company manufactured the first name brand
Correction.
Diet
what
soda?
Brand name company manufactured the first diet soda? Any guesses to either of my brothers?
I would have said Tab before you told me that.
Well, it actually, the Soda Pop was eventually called Tab, but it was originally called Diet Right, and it was manufactured by Royal Crown Cola, and we got it right and won. And they were really sweet. They gave us both a t-shirt and a mug, a travel mug. So we got two prizes out of it. And that was really fun.
And they showed up in the mail today.
Yeah. That was on Friday.
They got my t-shirt
and they showed
wrong.
Up today.
They did.
When it's a prize, you just have to take
what you're getting.
Unfortunately,
you'll just have to gain some weight to make that t-shirt fit. It was a little too big.
It was a little too big.
I really didn't think it was that awful big. If, wearing it over another shirt.
Yeah.
I'll wash it in hot water. It'll shrink a little bit and it'll be fine.
There you go. So I think that pretty much wraps it up. I think that's pretty much most of the fun things we've got to do.
Yeah, I think
Noah, so. Has there been any other exciting moments of your week?
Nope.
Nope, not at all. All right, so let's move into our final segment of the show. We like to call Sound Advice, the section of the show where we give you, the listener, some sort of advice that you can use in your everyday life. Does anybody have any sound advice?
Get a time machine, go back in time to tomorrow morning, and you can go to Chick-fil-A and get a chicken biscuit for free.
Oh, I'm so confused. Go back in time to tomorrow morning. Wait. Would you like to explain how this works?
No,
you have to know.
I understand.
Is this
completely.
One of those things where you need to know like prime primes? Like how many prime numbers are in a prime?
It's not that complicated. You just need a time machine to go back to tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe Seth's friend who makes the Back to the Future things can help you out there. I don't know.
Also, if that one is irrelevant, my second one would be always check for spiders before walking out your door in the morning.
Oh, that yeah. is very relevant.
Okay, but let me preface this by saying I was still asleep this morning when Noah was leaving for work, and all of a sudden I hear him go, "Whoa, you got to see this." And apparently there was something about a spider.
Yep, giant spider web in the
Did middle. You not come down and see that thing?
No, I was still pretty much asleep.
Oh, it was absolutely amazing. That spider, I don't know how it did it. It had filled up our front
it's
door.
It's a big spider, too.
It's been doing it a lot lately because I keep running into it.
Here's the question I guess everybody's wondering. What did you do? Like, did you play limbo underneath the spider web or did you knock it out?
I took a picture. What do you think I did?
Oh,
see,
well, that's,
you can try
oh,
and see
I
want
to see your picture.
It's kind of hard to see because it's hard to take pictures of spider web.
I do see it. Yeah. That's interesting. But it wasn't there when I walked out the door. So how did somebody walk into it and take it with you? Or?
Well, I took a picture on the inside and then I decided, well, I'm not getting a good picture. So I went around the back side of the house and came to the front door. And then I took a picture from that side and then I just got a stick and knocked it down.
All that work.
Did you kill the spider in the process?
Of course not.
No.
I relocated it to a new part of the yard.
No animals are harmed in the making of this podcast.
I have to ask, did you happen to relocate it over to like where one of the oak trees is?
No.
No? Because when I went out there this afternoon, it looked like the same spider because it was absolutely huge. It had built this web from the oak tree over to the eaves of the house across in front of where the bird bath is. And I didn't knock it down. I admired it and left it there. And so as far as I know, it's still there.
Nope.
Okay. Although, not the same okay. spider.
Maybe the same spider. Yeah,
the spider.
So there you go. There's some good advice for you. Make sure there's not a spider web built in your door before you leave for work in the morning.
The funny part is that Seth actually walked into one earlier this week. Or was it last week? I guess it was last week.
He opened the front door and ran into a spider web.
Back door.
Back door, yeah. And then I made fun of him and posted a picture of him walking into it on Facebook. But
how did you have your phone open to take
a
picture?
Well, actually, I drew a picture. But
oh, okay. Okay. I haven't seen that. I'm going to have to go look that up. Let's see. Here's my advice this week. My advice is pretty practical. Don't buy name brand glasses. Don't do it. Buy online cheap glasses. That's what I did, and mine have worked out great. So that's my advice.
You look very nice in your new glasses.
Thank you.
My advice is when you go to a convention, eat before you come. Convention food is really expensive.
It's also weird. Like, I don't know what a Spock burger is. I just, it's just weird. I don't know.
I mean, one slice of pizza was $6. You could go to Little Caesars and get a whole pizza.
Was it good pizza?
I don't know. I didn't try.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't going to pay $6 for that. Spock. I went with the $7 chicken tenders, which they gave me 4 big pieces of chicken and a big thing of waffle fries. So it wasn't...
too bad.
Mama, do you have any advice for our listeners this week?
I'm not sure it's advice. I was just sitting here thinking how disappointed I was with my big box of pumice that came in the mail today.
Which we all know that feeling.
Yeah. I know. I bought it from...
No, all my pumice purchases have been quite delightful.
Well, I bought it from Wayfair, and I probably shouldn't have bought pumice from Wayfair.
Especially when you're getting free shipping on like a $50 shipping
when you
item.
Buy name brand rocks.
Yeah. Stop buying name brand pumice.
And it's not hummus, it's pumice.
I said pumice.
Okay. It was supposed to float. The little pieces of rock were supposed to float. Wayfair told me they contacted the manufacturer. The manufacturer assured them the pumice would float. But when I got my box, it doesn't float.
There's nothing more disappointing than when you eat your pumice and it doesn't float.
I just want you to submit a ticket to the company. Just so some poor person who manages the tickets gets a request that says, my rocks did not float. I want a return.
That would be so funny. I'm calling the tech support or emailing the tech support people tomorrow and
that is
see if I can return my pumice.
Sorry, we're going to have to send this to the supervisor. We're not sure how to deal with the person who... So not happy because their rock didn't float.
Hey, I saved the email from them, though, assuring me that they would float.
Yeah.
So, I have a right to be disappointed because they promised me they would, and they don't.
Wow. Wow, this feels like something we need to update on everybody in the next episode.
Okay.
All right.
Can we get
ice cream now?
Yeah.
There we go. It's ice cream time, guys.
Yay.
Wait, Seth didn't give us advice, did he?
Yeah, he said don't eat convention food.
Don't eat Spock burgers.
Eat ice cream.
Okay, so let's go over the advice again. Don't eat Spock burgers. Don't go through the door when there's a spider web. Don't buy your pumice from Wayfair. And what was your advice?
Buy cheap glasses.
Well, okay.
Wait, cheap. I don't know about pumice, but I'm noticing a theme.
Don't get the cheap
here.
Pumice. Wow. And remember, and you have to take down those spider webs, use a quality spider web stick, not one of those cheap ones.
Wow. Okay, so before we wrap up this episode, let's hear a quick word from this week's sponsor.
Are you a victim of non-floating pumice? Hi, I'm Peter Bling, lawyer at law, your certified floating rock specialist. At Peter Bling & Associates, pumice-related cases are all we do. We're guaranteed to get you the justice you do or do not deserve as fast as possible.
After I broke my neck driving an 18-wheeler full of non-floating pumice into a lake, giving a ring to Peter Bling was the best and only advice I got.
We've battled every one of those scummy pumice companies in the country and won! So if you've been harmed, hurt, wounded, or injured by non-floating pumice, get a free consultation when you call 666-666-6666-66, extension 6. So give a ring to Peter Bling, lawyer at law.
All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Just wanted to remind you, as always, this last thing. Everybody stay with me. Remember to
stay safe and don't be stupid.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you again next week. See you later.
47 is a wrap.
Bye.